of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8
to 9:30 p.m.
Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps aside.
Good evening, everyone. This is Eben, and the program Issues of Life. Thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way. Indeed, the song that just played, you know, the signs of the times are all around us now. It's just amazing. I don't think any generation has seen the level of Bible prophecy unfolding within a period like we are seeing. You know, this week alone, a lot is happening. You look at the news, the foreign news especially, and all around us, you just see things that should be a wake-up call. You know, last week I started talking about, Father, it's time to really wake up from our slumber. We have to wake up. We have to revive ourselves. Tonight I'm continuing along that line. And first we'll talk about the news, the things happening, and all that. It's time to really wake up. We just can't play the same old game all the time, on the lukewarmness, as if nothing is happening, the carelessness. You know, the I don't care spiritually, I don't careism that's virtually happening across. We really have to wake up. We really have to wake up because times are just not normal. I mean, you know, even unbelievers can attest to the fact that times have changed. The season is not normal. So what is the church waiting for? What are believers waiting for? I mean, if unbelievers without the Holy Spirit in them can just look at the news and the things happening, and even say that, no, if unbelievers can say this, then there's something wrong with Christians then. Because we who should have known better, because by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, should be able to have the discernment to understand the times and the seasons based on the word of God, we rather are asleep. And unbelievers are even saying it boldly that the world is coming to an end. The world has changed. Things are not normal again. And Christians, what are we doing? Sleeping, enjoying our slumber. God help us. But tonight, we'll be talking a bit more. Let's first look at the news, the things happening. And it's just something else. We'll talk a bit about the things happening in Ghana as well. And for that one, it's a bit worrying. Because this week I've been worried when I listen to the news regarding KNUST, the things happening there. And it's just a small fraction of the society, the youth, what is happening, you know. And it's, I believe we have a lot to do as Christians. We really, really have a lot of work to do. Because, you see, I was having a chat this afternoon, and we, you know, and it's like the conversation we're having in the studio here, like, not on air, off air, like, in the studio. And it's like, it's just a fraction of the bigger picture. You know, a lot of things are happening at the JHS level, at the HHS level. So what is happening at the university level that is in the news now is just an offshoot of what is happening at the lower level, and it's progressing there. So there's something wrong. We have to talk about these things. I'll get to it. But first, let's look at the news. So I'll be with you from now till 9:30, and let's see how far we can go and how much we can cover this evening. Last week's edition, you can have it also on the website, spiritissues.info. Those in the Telegram group, it's also uploaded there, the Spirit Issues in the Telegram. Okay, so all is not well on earth, and unfortunately, all is not well in the sun, or on the sun, whichever way we put it, according to NASA. So NASA is warning that huge solar eruptions will likely impact Earth. So NASA said the sun is getting very active, and that could cause problems here on Earth. The space agency warned the activity level of the sun has quickly ramped up. They said the solar cycle is not at its peak, and is already exceeding expectations. Scientists expect to see more solar flares and solar eruptions that could impact radio communications, navigation signals, and electric power grids on Earth. The increase in activity also could pose risks to spacecraft and astronauts, impact GPS signals, and even create concerns about flight crew and passenger health on airplanes. NASA predicted that the solar events will continue to increase from now till 2025. Hey, serious times, yeah, you know, it's like a lot. You see, when if you really want to see how serious these things we talk about is, just look at it from the whole perspective of the things put all together, like one big picture, and the puzzle will come out of it. It will make a lot of sense, because you look at it and within 1 week, this, that, here, there, and all, you realize that something is just not normal. Something is just not normal. Well, volcano erupts near Iceland airport and sparking travel fears. So a massive volcano erupting close to a global travel hub, Iceland's Keflavik airport, led to close monitoring by officials and sparked fascination from people who ventured near the bright orange lava flows despite warnings. I mean, I wonder what has come over human beings these days. It's like, don't go there. Oh, that's where we are even coming from. It's like volcano and you want to go close. And I read one report, one woman was excited, very beautiful, saying instead of running away, you are getting close. And you see, we've become this, I don't know what mobile phone has done to human beings now, that is like everybody wants to take picture. So it's like, well, let me go and see. I also take a picture. I was there. But there are some things you can't joke with. Not volcano, no. But well, that's the report. So according to MSN, let's just skip it. The volcano is the first. Iceland, you know, Iceland, they have some very strange, wild names. Some of the alphabet cries not in English. But when they even forced to write it in English, mentioning it is something else. So this erupted 1:18 p.m. local time on Wednesday, according to Icelandic Meteorological Office, which urged people to stay away from the sparsely populated area. But human beings went to take photographs. Okay, fortunately, nothing happened to them. But just imagine, whilst you are taking photos and then it sparks again and then the flares are coming. I mean, how far can you run? It's just not worth it, but that's the world. Okay, so we have 2 ultra-rare floods in a single week and a wildfire generating its own weather. This is a headline. Not my words, it's a headline. 2 ultra-rare floods in a single week and a wildfire generating its own weather. So extreme weather on both ends of the spectrum has trashed parts of the U.S. over the past week. One of the many signals that climate change is here now, scientists say. On one hand, overwhelming rainfall triggered 2 ultra-rare floods last week, one in St. Louis area and the other in eastern Kentucky that has left dozens dead or missing. On the other hand, a fiery drought has fueled California's largest wildfire of the year so far, the McKinney Fire, which burned so hot over the weekend that massive pyrocumulus clouds erupted into the atmosphere. Expect more of these extremes as the planet warms, said Kevin Reed, a climate scientist at Stony Brook University, and prepare for them. Quote, every weather event has some flavor of climate change in it because it's impossible to decouple them, unquote, Reed told CNN. It's another sign that climate change is here. It's not just a challenge for the next 400 years from now or 50 years from now. In reality, it's something that we need to rapidly adapt to, and become more resilient to now. Yes, climate change. Who is causing it? They will blame it on human beings, you know, carbon footprints and all. But I will not blame human beings for these things. It is God, the creator of the earth, the one who created this whole thing we are in, is the one who is shaking things. Yes, he's telling us that there is a creator and he is in charge. But, you know, human beings will be blamed because scientists will not want to blame God for it. They will not even dare. They won't even think of God because they don't want to recognize God in all these things. But it's God who is at work trying to shake nature and to wake us up. Unfortunately, most are still not waking up. Now they have discovered a separate monkeypox strain, suggesting two outbreaks are happening simultaneously. A monkeypox strain has been spotted that is different from the one behind the ongoing outbreak in the West, raising questions about just how long the virus could have been around. A total of 23,620 confirmed cases of monkeypox were reported globally as of August 1st, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as part of an ongoing global health emergency that scientists are still working to understand. Monkeypox is a virus first discovered in 1958 in colonies of monkeys kept for research. Since then, the virus has remained endemic to West and Central Africa, with only a handful of cases ever discovered elsewhere. Even then, almost all such cases were linked to international travel to countries where the disease commonly occurs or through imported animals. This year is different, with monkeypox spreading widely across the globe in people with no reported travel links to endemic countries for the first time. In June, genetic viral data collected from monkeypox samples suggested there were not one but two separate outbreaks happening outside Africa. At the time, medical news site Stats reported that 3 of 10 virus samples sequenced by the CDC were linked to one another, but genetically distinct from the viruses causing the wider Western monkeypox outbreak. Ignat Damon, director of CDC's Division of High Consequence Pathogens and Pathology, told Stats it was very plausible that monkeypox could have been smoldering outside of endemic countries for some time. And I think this week too, I heard that it killed someone in Ghana and somewhere up north. What a time. A lot of things happening at the same time, you know, a lot of diseases rearing its head. Yesterday or this afternoon, I saw one news in New York where they said more polio cases are being noticed and, you know, and things which the world thought, like, oh, they thought they've overcome it, polio has been put to rest. I mean, then suddenly U.S. is having cases of polio. Then whatever other viruses and all ran their heads and everything. Well, Jesus told us that there will be pestilences as one of the things preceding his coming, the signs, pestilences. So it's not just one. So let's expect to hear and see more of these strange things, occurrences and all. All right, so let's get into some wars and rumors of wars. A lot of tension this week. you know, the Russian-Ukraine war is ongoing, then Nancy Pelosi goes to Taiwan, and then it's the whole, the dragon has woken up and shaking still, and China making some moves. And then yesterday, Israel versus, you know, Palestinians, also another flare-up again. These three big wars and rumors have shaken up the system. Let's start with the Russian one. So, Ukraine-Russian war to enter a new phase as armies move south to Kherson Oblast and Crimea. So, the war between Russia and Ukraine is about to enter a new phase, British intelligence officials said on Saturday. That's today. UK Defence Intelligence said in an intelligence report that Russian forces were certainly amassing in southern Ukraine. That strategic fighting would now shift from the Donbas region in eastern Ukraine to the area between the Mykolaiv Oblast and then Kherson and then the Crimean Peninsula in the south. Russia's war with Ukraine is about to enter a new phase, with the heaviest fighting shifting to a roughly 350-kilometer front line stretching southwest from near Zaporizhia to Kherson, and then paralleling the Dnieper River, UK's defense ministry said. Russian forces are almost certainly massing in the south in anticipation of Ukraine's counter-offensive or in preparation for a possible assault, the intelligence report added. The UK Defence Ministry also detailed the major movement of Russian troops, tanks and support vehicles into the southern region. Long convoys of Russian military trucks, tanks, towed artillery and other weapons continue to move away from the Ukraine's Donbas region and are headed southwest. Equipment also was also reported to be moving from Russian-occupied Melitopol and then Berdyansk, and then Mariupol, and from the mainland Russia via the Kerch Bridge into Crimea, the intelligence update said. So they are still fighting there, and but fortunately they've eased the shipment of grains from Ukraine. So that's one relief there for now. Then Israel and Gaza militants exchange fire and move closer to war. Bombardments rained down on both Israel and Gaza Strip on Friday as tensions in the region reached a fever pitch. The exchange began after Israel killed a Palestinian jihadist in a targeted anti-terrorist strike. According to Israeli Defense Forces reports, six sites were hit by fighter jets and armed drones on Friday afternoon, killing Tessa Jabari, and the senior Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanding officer of the terrorist group's Northern Gaza Division. In Gaza, the Hamas-run health ministry reported that at least five others were killed in the strikes, including a five-year-old girl. The response from forces in Gaza are sharp and swift. However, key terror group Hamas seems to be sitting out of the firefight. The skies above southern and central Israel lit up with rockets and interceptors from Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. It wasn't immediately clear how many rockets were launched, and there were no immediate reports of casualties on the Israeli side. A joint statement from Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid and Defense Minister Benny Gantz said that the goal for the operation was to eliminate the threat against citizens of Israel and the civilians living adjacent to the Gaza Strip, as well as targeting of terrorists and their sponsors. Okay. Then we get to the next one, Taiwan. So this week, Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan against the warnings of China. And after she did, the whole thing has flared up into something else. So Taiwan says, that's today's news, says China is rehearsing invasion attack. So Taiwan is warning that China's recent military drills are a rehearsal for a real invasion. The disputed island has in recent days been surrounded by Chinese military vessels and shows of strength on behalf of Beijing. the Chinese Communist Party has been openly irate that a congressional delegation led by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited the island last week. No, it's this week. Yeah, because today is Saturday, so it's this week. Yeah, the delegation proceeded with a visit in direct opposition to Chinese demands that the U.S. abort the meeting. After Pelosi's departure, China's Navy and Air Force began conducting military exercises in six zones around Taiwan, with some overlapping Taiwan's international or territorial waters. The U.S. responded by deploying several warships to the area. The U.S. officials, including high-ranking members of President Biden's cabinet, have acknowledged the legitimacy of China's threats to Taiwan. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said China's military exercises, including missiles the country recently fired into the Taiwan Strait and Japan's economic zone, represent significant escalation. China has chosen to overreact and use Speaker Pelosi's visit as a pretext to increase provocative military activity in and around the Taiwan Strait. He told a group of reporters that at the ASEAN conference on Friday. Japan, an ally of both Taiwan and the U.S. in East Asia, has voiced its own concerns. Japanese Minister Nobuo Kishi said the missiles threaten Japan's national security and the lives of Japanese people, which we strongly condemn. The people in Japan is compounded by the island's nation's lack of a formal standing military, which is outlawed by its constitution. Japan maintains a small defense force for protection. China often threatens to annex Taiwan by force if necessary, while Japan and the U.S. continue to increase their military readiness to potentially respond to such an attack. You know, I was watching one report, an analysis being done, a very good analysis, in which the impact, the discussion showed how the impacts, should China really dare take or attack Taiwan, the ripple effect will be worse than the Russian-Ukraine war. Because of, you know, we all know China is the world's factory. I mean, they produce everything for the world. So if they are at war, it changes the whole supply chain issues. Taiwan produces about 50% of the semiconductor chips that are used in almost all electronic devices, from cars to electric cars to phones to computers, laptop, everything. All modern gadgets that use one chip or the other, 50% of these chips come from Taiwan. So Taiwan is no mean a small island. Economically, they are very, comes to industry wise, they have a big role to play in the world. Even the COVID issues and all, when some of these factories closed in Taiwan, it affected supply chains around the world, ripple effects was felt around the world. Toyota and all these big car companies, a lot of them had to cut production. Even still, suppliers of cars around the world, new cars deliveries are still being affected, the delays, production lines and all. So if this whole threat by China is really moved to another level, the impact on the world economy, the world system, supply chains, industries, it's going to be big. The ripple effect will be felt massively. So something which, well, we can only watch and pray. But in times like this, there are some prayers which may not be able to stop some things from happening. If really it has to happen, then we can't stop it. All right. So the next news says China simulates sinking U.S. aircraft carriers. That's serious. And halts military and climate ties with U.S. So technically, there is tension really building up between U.S. and China. And the White House has summoned the Chinese ambassador as crisis escalates. So China boosted, it has rehearsed sinking U.S. aircraft carriers using hypersonic missiles as part of massive war games amid simmering tensions over Taiwan. Beijing's state-controlled media bragged recent missile launches were squarely aimed at hitting any foreign aircraft carriers that could interfere with reunification by force oppression. Communist Party ran tabloid, the Global Times, quoted a number of named and unnamed experts who blasted about the massive war games near Taiwan. China has been left furious after senior U.S. politician Nancy Pelosi, the third in the line of presidency, visited the autonomous island earlier this week in what Beijing views as provocation. You know, Xi Jinping's view, the regime views any engagement between Washington and Taipei as a U.S. endorsement of Taiwan's independence. But an increasingly belligerent China claims the island belongs to them and has vowed to retake Taiwan. Warships and warplanes and missiles have all been moved towards the island for the massive Chinese war games, which in effect blockaded Taiwan. Beijing state-run media bragged the drills showed how China could attack the island by first unleashing a wave of rocket strikes across the Taiwan Strait. And it then boosted missile launches showed how the communist forces could also strike any foreign aircraft carriers that may attempt to intervene from the Philippine Sea. Hypersonic missiles such as the DF-17 could be used, it claimed, to hit moving targets at sea. China said on Friday it would halt cooperation with the United States on areas including military relations, climate change, whilst imposing sanctions against House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as Beijing stepped up its retaliation to her Taiwan visit. The new measures were announced as military drills Beijing launched furiously in the wake of her trip earlier this week sent warplanes, naval ships, and missiles menacingly close to the small island democracy, despite growing criticism. The U.S. delegation's unannounced visit to Taiwan has fueled a mounting crisis, raising fears of conflict in the region and stoking tensions between Washington and its allies and Beijing. Beijing said Friday it will cancel phone calls between regional military commanders, defense meetings, and talks on maritime safety and on climate change. It also said it will end cooperation with the United States on anti-drug efforts, returning illegal immigrants and transnational crime. Earlier, China took personal action against Pelosi, announcing sanctions on the speaker and her immediate family in response to what the Chinese foreign ministry called her egregious provocations. The fallout over Pelosi's visit to Taiwan escalated sharply Friday as China reacted angrily to having its ambassador summoned to the White House and said it would cancel or suspend dialogue with the United States on several issues. After China responded to Pelosi's visit by firing missiles into the waters around Taiwan, the White House responded Thursday by telling Ambassador Qin Gang that China's recent military actions, including firing missiles into the waters around Taiwan, were irresponsible and at odds with our long-standing goal of maintaining peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait, according to the National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby in a statement provided by Washington Post. So, wars, rumors of wars, the tension ongoing in the world. A lot more. There are a few more other wars too, you know, Eastern Africa, where we have the Ethiopia, within the Ethiopia, and then the separatist part of Ethiopia that also want to have their freedom, and then tension there, part of, you know, DR Congo, and all this week, I think there were some UN mission soldiers who shot people, and, you know, tensions all around. Okay, so let's get to the next one, where the UN is warning. This is quite a serious warning. United Nations warns that millions are at risk of power and water shortages as two of the nation's largest reservoirs on the brink of dead pool status. That's the US. The US is talking about. So millions of people in the Western U.S. are at the risk of seeing reduced access to both water and power, as two of the nation's largest reservoirs continue to dry up inch by inch. The United Nations issued a warning on Tuesday that the water levels in Lake Mead and Lake Powell are at their lowest ever and are getting perilously close to reaching dead pool status. Such a status means that the water levels are so low that water can't flow downstream to power hydroelectric stations. If you have access to the internet, just search for these two lakes, Lake Mead and then Lake Powell, or just search the water crisis in California, and you'll be shocked by the pictures you see. It's ridiculous. The first time I saw these pictures, the news reports, I was shocked. So I got in touch with a friend in California. I didn't even know where he was. I didn't know he was working in the water company, actually. So in the conversation, he even brought it up, and it's like, it's serious. It's so serious now. They are trying to drill boreholes in some communities to see whether they can get water. And he was telling me how I had read the report. So now because he works in that sector, so he was even giving me behind the scenes the seriousness of it and all that. And it's worrying. When you see the pictures, it's real. So you can check the pictures yourself. Let me continue reading. Where am I? All right. Yeah. So at Lake Mead, located in Nevada and Arizona, the country's largest artificial body of water, levels have gotten so low that it's essentially become a graveyard. Human remains, dried out fishes, and a sunken boat dating back to World War II have so far been revealed from underneath the now shallow waters. The walls of the lake are divided by two contrasting colors that reveal the line at which the water once sat. At maximum capacity, the lake should reach an elevation of 1,220 feet, according to NASA's Earth Observatory. On this day in 2020, Lake Mead sat at 1,084 feet above the mean sea level. Today, it's 1,040 feet. NASA has said this could be the worst drought in the region in 12 centuries. Can you imagine that? 1,200 years, that's what it means. 12 centuries. Whoa, the lowest level in 12 centuries. And that water levels must stay above 1,000 feet to continue providing hydropower at normal levels. Lake Powell, which sits in Utah and Arizona, is the nation's second largest artificial reservoir and is seeing a similar situation. The last time the lake was full was in 1999, but the water is dozens of feet lower than it was just last year. And as of Thursday, it was only a quarter full. Both lakes provide water and electricity to tens of millions of people across seven states in the U.S., as well as irrigation water for agriculture. So United Nations Environment Program ecosystems expert Les Mullen Bernhardt, said that the conditions have been so dry for more than 20 years that we are no longer speaking of a drought. The climate crisis and overconsumption of water are to blame, the UN says. We refer to it as aridification, a new, very dry normal, they said in a statement. And even if water cuts are introduced to try and ration the supply, it might not be enough. Climate change is the heart of the issue. UNEP's North America Ecosystems Officer Maria Morgado said, in the long term, we need to address the root causes of climate change as well as water demands. The next one is no better. We go to France, where it says, France drought, parched towns left short of drinking water. So it's not just the U.S. alone. The French government has set up a crisis team to tackle a historic drought that has left more than 100 municipalities short of drinking water. Trucks are taking water to those areas as there is nothing left in the pipes, Minister for Ecological Transition, Christophe Bouco, said the Prime Minister's office said it was France's worst recorded drought. Water use is being restricted in 93 regions. Dry conditions are expected to continue for at least the next 2 weeks. The state's energy company, EDF, has had to reduce output at some nuclear power plants as river temperatures are too high to provide sufficient cooling, AFP News Agency reports. There are fears that the drought hitting nearly all of mainland France will reduce crop yields, exacerbating the food crisis caused by the war in Ukraine. Europeans are already struggling with higher food prices as grain exports from Russia and Ukraine, among the world's top producers, are much lower than normal. The heat wave that has baked France since June has prompted trees and bushes to shed their leaves early, creating scenes that look like autumn. In July, France had just 9.7 millimeter of rain. Whoa, 9.7 millimeter, making it the driest month since March 1961. That's serious. The National Weather Service, Meteo France, said irrigation has been banned in much of northwest and southeast of France to conserve water. The corn harvest, used mainly for animal feed, is expected to be 18.5% lower this year compared to 2001, the Agriculture Ministry said. The main corn-growing areas are Alcas and in the east and western regions, and the harvest is already underway. Corn exports from France, Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria are all expected to be lower this year because of the heat wave, and those lower volumes will push prices up, according to French BMTV. Livestock farmers in the Alps are having to descend into the valleys by truck every day to collect water for their animals, which adds several hundred euros to their weekly fuel bills, according to the broadcaster TF1 reports. So the issue is just compounding in various countries. It's serious. Okay, so now let's get into some morality issues. Let's start with Ukraine. Zelensky, their president, opens door to same-sex civil partnerships in Ukraine. Oh, what a world. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has opened the door to legalizing same-sex civil partnerships in the country in response to a petition that called for equal marriage to be introduced in the war-ravaged nation. In a written reply online, Zelensky explained that it would be impossible to legalize same-sex marriages while the country remained at war, because it would require a change to the constitution. But he said his government had worked out solutions regarding the legalization of registered civil partnerships in Ukraine as part of the work on establishing and ensuring human rights and freedoms. The call to introduce same-sex marriage in the country has been accelerated by the war due to the number of LGBTQ+ people serving the military and the greater legal protections that married civilians have. The Family Code of Ukraine defines that the family is the primary and main unit of society. A family consists of persons who live together, are connected by a common life, have mutual rights and obligations, according to the Constitution of Ukraine. Marriage is based on the free consent of a woman and a man, according to Article 51, Zelensky wrote on the website of Ukrainian presidency. The Constitution of Ukraine cannot be changed during a martial law or a state of emergency, Article 157 of the Constitution of Ukraine, he said. He explained. However, Zelensky said he would work with his ministers to ensure the rights and freedoms of all Ukrainians. In the modern world, the level of democratic society is measured, among other things, through state policy aimed at ensuring equal rights for all citizens. Every citizen is an inseparable part of civil society. He is entitled to all rights and freedoms enshrined in the Constitution of Ukraine, Zelensky also said. All people are free and equal in their dignity and rights. Zelensky thanked the more than 28,000 people who signed the petition for their active civic position. Under Ukrainian law, the president must review petitions that get more than 25,000 signatures. In June, the United Nations identified LGBTQ plus people as a group specifically affected by the war and said LGBTQ plus refugees from the country are often at heightened risk of exclusion, exploitation, violence and abuse and encounter distinct protection risks. So Ukraine legalized homosexuality after the fall of the Soviet Union, but anti-LGBTQ attitudes and laws remain in place in the country. Workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation is banned, but no legal recognition of same-sex relationships exists, and same-sex couples are barred from adopting children and unprotected by hate crime laws, according to Watchdog ILG Europe. So the organization ranks Ukraine 39th out of 49 European nations for LGBTQ plus rights. A pride parade typically takes place in Kiev every year, but in June, organizers joined forces with the equivalent event in neighboring Poland, celebrating in Warsaw amid the war at home. So of all the troubles that they are going through, you know, people fighting say that, well, they need to be recognized. Because they are fighting, so in case they die, so that their partners, you know, it's something else. This world, something else. Okay, we go back to France, where France creates new post of LGBTQ rights ambassador. And you'll be amazed about the role and the duty of the ambassador. So French Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne on Thursday announced the creation of a new position of ambassador for LGBTQ rights in efforts to fight discrimination across the world. So what a mandate to fight discrimination across the world. You shouldn't be surprised when that person comes to visit Ghana. Born spoke while visiting an LGBTQ center in Orleans, central France, on the 40th anniversary of the discrimination of homosexuality in the country. Born said an ambassador will be named by the end of the year and will notably be in charge of pushing for universal discrimination of homosexuality and trans identity. Universal power, I see. She also announced the creation of a 3 million euro fund to finance 10 new LGBT plus centers in addition to 35 already existing in France. Bond's announcement followed criticism of the government after one minister made comments seen as stigmatizing homosexuality and LGBTQ people. Asked about her position in France's 2013 law authorizing gay marriage and adoption, the minister, Caroline Kaus, said, "I have a lot of friends among all those people. The remarks last month shocked many LGBTQ people and activists against discrimination and abuse and provoked calls for her resignation." On Thursday, Bond said the president of the Republic's approach, "My approach and government's approach is not ambiguous. We will continue to fight to make progress on the rights of LGBTQ." Bond added that the minister made unfortunate comments and she apologized. No, now they're for the Western society. They are just going down, down, down. And they don't want to go down alone. They want to drag the rest of the world along. But Africa, they will resist power. Okay, so to the US, and we have, you know, those who are just changing their identity, confused beings. Now look at, listen to this news one, this news. Demi Lovato, a singer, updates pronouns to include she and her again. And so she says, "I'm such a fluid person." So Demi Lovato has announced a personal change. The singer and actress, whose new album is out this August, says her pronouns now also include she and her. But the issue is, you're already a woman. So you're already a she and a her, but she changed it and now she's gone back. She's welcome to her new position. In a recent interview on Spout podcast, Lovato said, "I'm actually adopted the pronouns she and her again. This comes a little over a year after the Confidence singer shared a video of her social on her platforms where the 29-year-old announced she identified as non-binary and would use they and them pronouns." Bro, fundamentally, I mean, they are human being, one person, they and them. I mean, come on, these people. In reference to her pronouns, Lovato said, "I felt like, especially last year, my energy was balanced in my masculine and feminine energy, so that when I was faced with a choice of walking into a bathroom and it said women and men, I didn't feel like there was a bathroom for me because I didn't feel necessarily like a woman. I didn't feel like a man. I just felt like a human being." And how does a human being feel? Oh, no. And that's what they, them is. So that is about me. So that was last year. Last year, he felt they, them. Now, so he didn't feel like he, his, him. Now, she, her. Now, she moves to they, them. But Lovato now says, "Recently, I've been feeling more feminine, so I've adopted she and her again." You know, this generation is something else. Oh, yeah. And parents, we really, really... Okay, I'll be talking about that soon. Let me just finish the news and then we'll get into that. The last news item, for those who have watched the Commonwealth Games or who watched the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games... It's serious. I think it's been circulating some viral video of, you know, the big bull, robotic bull that is being worshipped. But, you know, I mean, get online and just look for it. I mean, after issues, you can just look for it. Like, opening game, Commonwealth Games opening ceremony. You see this big, huge, metallic, robotic-looking bull that is being worshipped. I mean, it's something else. I mean, just look at it. Any Bible-reading Christian, as soon as you see the first, and that will be, well, worship of Baal. I mean, as obvious as that. Or the golden image that the Israelites worshipped, that they did in the wilderness when Moses went to the mountain. You know, and this has been, you know, they normally... used opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies of music big events to push subliminally their concepts and their agenda and their messages. And this is one clear one. I mean, it's just clear that no. So they aren't even this the article, they aren't even hiding it anymore. During the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, England, on July 28th, a giant mechanical bull with a glowing red eyes was rolled out into the center of the Alexander Stadium. The bull was approximately 10 meters high and it looked more than 5 meters to build. It had been given the nickname Raging Bull and it absolutely dwarfed all the human participants that were involved in the performance. The hero of the opening ceremony, a character known as Stella, calmed the creature down, and then all of the human performers, gathered around the giant bull and literally began to bow down and worship it. I mean, the writer writes on, says, "I've seen a lot of really weird things in recent years, but I have never seen anything quite like this." And it's true. I mean, when I saw it, I was also blown up. It's like, whoa. A total of 27 nations participate in the Commonwealth Games. And so this opening ceremony was being viewed on countless television screens all around the world. The symbolism in this ritual was well planned in advance, and organizers knew exactly what they were doing. But they were also counting on the fact that the vast majority of the general population would not consciously catch on to what was actually taking place. The bull has always been a symbol of an ancient deity from the Middle East, known as Baal. The following comes from the Christianity.com, an article on it, a brief write-up. It says, and then goes on to say that in artistic depictions and archaeological finds, Baal took the shape of a bull or ram and had associations with fertility. This god also apparently, according to Canaanite rites, defeated El and had associations with sun and thunder. And of all the foreign gods the Israelites came into contact with, they appear to struggle the most with worshipping this one. If we could go back thousands of years and roll out a giant bull with glowing red eyes for the people of the ancient Middle East, they would instantly understand what was going on. Nobody would need to tell them that it was a statue of Baal and that they were intended to worship it. It was being reported that music from Black Sabbath was being played as the colossal beast was being brought out. It would have been bad enough if they would have stopped there, but all of the human performers gathered around the bull and literally started bowing down to it. Why do they have to perform some sort of incredibly bizarre ritual in which they bow down to the beast? We are obviously meant to understand that the performers are worshipping the bull. If people from the ancient Middle East were to watch this spectacle, they would immediately identify it as Baal worship. After the bull is calmed down, at one point, three women are lifted up to ride on top of the bull. When I saw this, I instantly thought of a passage in Revelation chapter 17. Then he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet beast, which was full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filth of her sexual immorality. On her forehead, the name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And then goes on to say, so when I saw her, I marveled greatly. And it has been announced that this giant bull will have a permanent place in Birmingham once the games are over. The elites love to use opening ceremonies and award shows and other public spectacles to mentally and emotionally condition us, and also add psychologically condition us. And when they pull the stunts like this, they know that only a very small fraction of the general population will ever object. We live in strange times, and I believe that they are going to get weirder. Unfortunately, the vast majority of the population is still dead asleep. And let me add, and a lot of Christians are also dead asleep. Unfortunately, the vast majority are asleep. They have no idea what the elites are doing, even though it's happening right in front of their eyes. Well, interesting times. Let me just take a breather here. I'll be back after this song.
Look up, yeah. These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with the big earthquake when he returned. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of a desolation. Look up, your redemption journey. When he draws near, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near,
could give you faith, kick all your fears, but you will know that you believe all he says. So look up, your redemption draws near.
Is happening around us in the world, you have to really wake up from our slumber. But let's come to Ghana and talk a little about some of the things happening. And you know, this week there was just, you know, alleged rape case in the KNUST, six students and all that. And but my worry is to the trend of the youth now, what is happening in the society. And it's getting worrying, because now you walk around on the streets now, look at the number of guys and the type of hair that they have on their head. This, I mean, whatever name they call it, you know, just making their hair rasta, or just, you know, I don't know the name, but something is happening amongst the youth. We can pretend not to see, but it's happening. It's even unfortunate that even is happening in the church as well. You know, these days we see it common in some churches. You know, they just do this person styles. And but you see, if you are to ask these people who is influencing them, who are the influencers in their lives, why do they want to look like whoever they are looking at? These are not influencers in the body of Christ. I mean, these are not, it's not pastors they are looking up to. It's not some Christian leaders they are looking up to. They are looking up to these people in the world. The Shatawalis, the Stone Boys, and all, they are the ones. See, they are following these influencers in the system. They have these hairstyles. They have these sagging trousers, you know, these music videos, celebrities. They are influencing the youth now. Sadly, they are influencing Christian youth as well. You see, the effect of the world system is really taking a toll on the youth. And we are seeing it. It's happening. But the danger is that it's starting at a younger age, and then they are getting into, so look downwards into the younger groupings, the primary school, the upper primary, into the JHS and all. And you start seeing signals of that. We are not seeing much of that hairdo amongst them, because, you know, at that lower level, because of the, like, they are directly under parenting and the school. So it's like, but as soon as freedom comes in, then they start going that way. But the desire is there. They wish, because they look up to these singers, to these football stars. Their celebrities are these people. So they are looking up to them. They want to be like them. So as soon as they have the freedom, the choice to make it, the way they want to look, immediately they want to look like these people. And Christian parents should be worried. We should be worried about the trend of things happening. You know, and it's even more worrying when you even come lower, the primary, the lower primary crowd. Recently, a neighbor, they were doing a party and were playing loud music. And I mean, for whatever reason, I mean, if you are doing a small party in your house, why do you want the whole area, everybody to know you are doing a party? One thing I hate cry is this big music, big speakers that everybody's heart is vibrating in there. I mean, what sense does it make? Anyway, that's Ghana for you. Lawlessness is what abounds. But my worry was when I saw the little children in the area all gathering around this gates of the house, and now they were doing dancing competition for the children, and it's like, I was heartbroken because, you know, there's no any good song. This rough songs. And the children are dancing and some on the streets. And it's like, so what has come over this generation? The adults who should know better in life play this music and you organize the children and they are dancing these filthy ways and you are happy and we the first, we the second. It's like, seriously, it was a sad spectacle to behold. But you see, these things, it looks like, oh, but it's just song, it's just entertainment, it's just dancing. No, it's not just as simple as it looks. It's the beginning of something. You see, it starts from there. So when you hear people in their youthful ages misbehaving and doing all sorts of absurd things, check backwards. How did they grow up? How was the childhood like? What influence did they have? What exposure did they have? What songs were they listening to? What things were they watching? It starts from somewhere. There's an influence somewhere that grows and increases till they get to do the things they are doing. You see, if you care to know, a lot of these music songs, look at the lyrics are nothing to write home about. But the video, the music videos are mostly, you know, suggestive, sexually suggestive, lustful. So the seeds are sown along these lines. You see, so it's not just a one-off thing. It's a gradual process of distraction. And this is happening. Parents are watching and looking on while their children are just going this way. But, you know, I'm saying all this because, you know, we just can't look on and not do anything about the children. I mean, the children, because the problem starts from the children. The foundation is the children. But I believe Christians have to wake up and do something. We just can't look on while the children are getting spoiled and no one cares. But something should be done. I remember when I was a little boy, very young ages, 6 years, 7 years, young boy. In an area where I was staying in Accra, there was this woman who used to do, call it Good News Club. You know, I've forgotten the day. It was a Saturday, late afternoons. All the children in the area would gather. She would share the Bible story with us and all that. I mean, we have to start going back to some of these things in our communities. We have to start doing these things. I was speaking to one pastor, he's in Accra. His ministry is into children's ministry. And I discussed with him that I want to do a seminar for as many as will be interested. His schedule is so tight, he can't come to Kumasi though, but the power of technology, so we can have a Zoom meeting, so he'll be in Accra and then we do it. So that we can start in your little corner where you are. It's time we start influencing the children around us positively. So if you are interested in this mission, you want to like learn about how child evangelism and how to organize children in ministry, all these things, send 0244, my number 0244-638-757. Send me a WhatsApp or SMS, your name and then your email address. Your name and then your email address, so that I'll eventually discuss with him like the time that would be appropriate, and then we can schedule these training sessions via Zoom, because something should be done. We just can't look on for the children to get destroyed. We just cannot look on for the children to get destroyed, because it's like nobody cares now. It's, of course, I don't mean every parent, you know, but in general, I'm talking in general, it's like they are just free for all. They are just going down. The system is just taking over. The entertainment industry is taking them, is destroying them. And then when they grow up and they get to university and they are doing these things, people are surprised. No, shouldn't be surprised. They have access to pornography is now all over the place. Some TV stations are showing serious things in the night, deep in the night. All sorts of topics are being discussed deep in the night. And National Media Commission looks on as if nothing can be done. And then when the youth gets into these things, people are surprised. No, we shouldn't be. The system has allowed it to happen. The distraction is going on through the media landscape. And it's being allowed. Nobody's the mandated government institution that should be doing something to help. It's doing nothing. They say they're underfunded, they don't have budget, they can't monitor all the how many TV stations, they can't monitor all the radio stations. So unless you place a report before, then they can, you know, I mean, come on. But this is the world. Things are happening so fast now. The children are exposed to so many things. By the time they get to JHS, they are exposed to things which even their parents are not even aware of. And SSDN and the mock, right? And so by the time they get to the university, first year students, but the things they are doing is serious. But as believers, as Christians, our impact should be felt in the society, in our community. We should be the salt of the earth. I don't know, but if we are to really check and investigate, you realize a lot of some of these people involved in these things will be going to church on Sunday, or they go to church on Sundays. They will claim to be Christians, because in Ghana, 70% claim to be Christians. So you can safely assume that for every percentage you see, or like every number, group of, you can assume that 70% are Christians. So you see, our impact is not being felt in the system. But listeners of this program, and as whoever will be listening will be listening and all, let's decide to be game changers. Let's decide to first wake up from our slumber, because we've been sleeping and pretending as if nothing is happening. So let's wake up from our slumber and then decide to be game changers. We should do something, whichever way we can, as the Spirit leads and guides us. We should be doing something. Let's start making an impact in the children around us. The children around us. So that at least, let's save the children around us so that they don't get into the same trouble that others are following. And then, because you can see, I mean, it's almost predictable that you see these children running around the streets all over the place in your community. If no one really guides them and shows them the way of Christ, they will go wayward eventually. And eventually, they will end up being things, being whatever they shouldn't be. But we can change and alter the direction of these children, the life of these children. You see, evangelism, missions, and all these days, churches have neglected it. I mean, sad to say, but that's the truth. That's the truth. But let's It's time we revive ourselves along doing something for the Lord. You know, in waking up from our slumber, you just don't wake up and sit down and do nothing. Let's wake up and then get busy for the Lord. Time is not on our side. And the devil knows this better than us. Because he is working extra over time. He is virtually called all, is just calling his marshals, his people, everybody get on board, get busy. So they are busy recruiting and working. The devil is busily working. But what is the church doing? Sleeping. We are also busy relaxing, comfortable in our, you know, God has blessed us, like the Laodicean church. We have this, we have that. We have a nice church building. We just finished a nice cathedral. We have this, we have this. We are building this. We have money. We have cars. We have this. We are just boasting about material things. We are interested in material gains. But what spiritual things can we boast about? What spiritual things are we busy working on for the Lord? You know, the churches say they don't have money for crusades. Because, you know, crusade is capital intensive. Oh, yes, that's what I mean. And it's amazing. Crusades are capital intensive. God help us. Can you imagine the impact Paul would have made if he had the type of speakers we have in our generation? PA systems, the mic and the PA systems. If Paul, Peter, James, John, if these people had the type of equipment we had or we are having now, can you imagine the impact they would have made in the cities they travel to? Can you imagine? Just think about it. This thing I'm saying, I've never thought about it. I mean, the Holy Spirit just think about it. The impact they would have made, even without equipment. Look at what they did for the Lord. Turning cities upside down without microphone, without megaphone. Look at what they achieved. And we have some of the best speakers you can boast about. We have some of the powerful speakers, cordless mics. We have virtually like the best of the best. I remember someone telling me of a church in Accra. They bought a mixer for how much? I've forgotten the price. Some huge thousands of pounds. A mixer to mix sound, you know. So we have the things, but what are we using it for? Yes, for ourselves. Yes, indoors for ourselves. And it's like these things, yes, for ourselves. So the same old souls who are saved, we just come and recycle ourselves, and for ourselves we just come entertain ourselves, listen to the same old things. Like, that is it. We ourselves. We just... But God has blessed us, not only for ourselves, but for the souls out there. But for whatever reason, it seems now we've just forgotten that there are souls out there that should be won. We've just closed our minds, we've just closed our eyes, and it's like, we are saved. Well, the rest, it's up to them. They can go to hell. We don't care. Technically, that's what we are saying by our actions. Technically, that's what we are saying. By our attitude, by our actions. It's like we don't care. The children can go to hell. It's not our case. They are not our children. So, their parents should do better to train them. That's what we are saying. You know, so Christians have become so selfish. We just think about ourselves. We don't care about our neighbors again. We don't care about our friends, children. We don't care about what happens to others, whether they will go to hell or not. It's our bad case. So far as we are fine with our families, that is it. But it's time we start thinking along a different line. We should wake up from, you know, we've just had this mentality of selfishness. But that's not what Jesus talked about. That's not what Jesus talked about. This afternoon, I was having a chat with a pastor. You know, that was a small business fair on the premises of Spirit FM here. So I was, one pastor came, he had a stand there, and I was having a chat with him. When we were talking about this children evangelism thing, and he was telling me he's interested and all. And so, you know, even in churches, children's Sunday school and all that, how many pastors have even bothered to, like, they even bother to go and visit the children, the Sunday school, the children's service? No, it's about, it's as if the pastors are only pastors for adults. They are not for the children. The children's service, there, let's get some Sunday school teachers. We can teach children, okay. Just gather some teachers, people who can teach children, and just gather them and occupy. It's like just occupy the time whilst their parents worship God. So the children, just do something for them, entertain them, keep them busy in the name of Sunday school. It's very few churches that are really doing well with the Sunday school concept itself. But a lot of it's like just occupy them for the time being whilst their parents are busy worshiping God. Just keep them. So pastors don't even bother to go and look at the Sunday school, how the children are being taught. Pastors don't even care about the children in their Sunday schools. Because it's like they are like, I mean, how much offering do they bring? One CD, 20 pesos, 25, 50 pesos. It's like they don't even bring revenue. How much money do they bring to the church? You know, we have to change our minds. We have to change our minds and our attitude towards these things. And let's start focusing on the children as well. They are also souls. You see, we neglect the children, but these same children, very soon they grow and then now they are in GHS. They get to SHS. They get to university. Then they start misbehaving. But if the foundation is right and is well protected, they will also grow and grow well into good adults who have good morals. But we are leaving the children and the devil is using them. And the devil, because the devil is busy, it's, unless we are we are underestimating the power that the games that the devil is playing, we seem to be underestimating him. But we are underestimating, but it's to our own peril, because the impact of his agenda is working. The impact is working. So let's get serious about these things. It's time we pay attention to the children's ministry, the Sunday school, the children. Let's do something for the children in our areas, wherever we stay, and all. We just can't ignore the children. We have to do something for them. At the end of the day, we are going to give account to God. What did we do for him? How many souls did we bring for him? You know, we don't often talk about these things, but sometimes we just have to go the hard way and just think about these things. We used to be this, we used to be that, but what about now? Now we have become busy, we don't have time, we don't have time for anything godly again. We just scratch the surface on things and then we just think, oh, we are fine, all is good. But if we do a real introspection, we realize all is not well with us. Spiritually, we have to wake up. We can do far more than we are doing for God now. We should challenge ourselves to the limits that we should do something. It's time we wake up from the slumber. We have to wake up. You know, you see, when you fall asleep for too long and when you wake up, you know, it's like your eyes, you are seeing things, but you are not seeing well. But it's normal, though, but let's quickly adjust and start seeing well and start identifying our weaknesses and our failures and then know what to do. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to guide us again back to the basics. You know, we've gone far off too much. Let's come back. Let's wake up from our slumber. The slumber is too deep. Let's wake up. The world has changed, whether we believe it or not. The world has changed. And it has changed in a way which is so obvious for everyone to see, but unless you don't want to see. But it has the change is so drastic, which should have been obvious for everyone to see.
So in case you are not really seeing it, please see and see well that the world has changed. In as much as the world has changed, it also now begs the question that can we also be the same, or we also have to change? We cannot do the same old things which yielded no results and expect there to be a change. No, we also have to adapt. If the devil is busy working and we are busy sleeping, how well can we say we are doing well for the Lord? We can't say that. It's time we also get busy for the Lord, doing something for Him. At the end of the day, the souls that we win on earth is to our credit. The souls we win will be credited to our accounts. And it's time we start thinking along heavenly things, because the way the world is going now, we just can't be just earthly minded. No. We have to start being heavenly minded as well, because it's just clear that the world is just is not going to get any better. And so far as we are Christians, we should understand this even better, that if the world is not going to get any better, then obviously we should also start making provision for the times ahead. And one of the wisest investments we can make with our time is to invest in souls. So let's wake up and start doing something. We just can't keep going the same old way without any fruit bearing. And we are comfortable, we are fine with it. It's as if nothing matters again. It's time, something matters. Let's wake up. Let's wake up from the sleep. Because it's just a matter of time, and would wish we should have done something for the Lord. It's just a matter of time, and we wish we should have done something for the Lord. So I believe these are the times we have to encourage ourselves and get busy for the Lord. Encourage ourselves and get busy for the Lord. Because time is running out too fast, and the earlier we do something, the better. Let's wake up. Let's put our families in, like, let's really get our families in place for, I mean, to get better, to know God. If we can help our neighbors, the children, let's do something. Let's do something. We just shouldn't look on as the children are getting spoiled all around us. And then soon, oh, they get to GHS, soon, oh, SHS, then soon university. Then we start hearing all sorts of things. It's happening. The thing, the society is just, now we know, the society is not getting any better. But we should be the salt of the earth. It's time as believers we become the salt of the earth. Let me just finish off with this verse, or these verses. Then I'll be out of here. Let's read Ephesians 5 verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If in the time of Paul the days were evil, then as for our time there, I don't know how many adjectives you have to use to describe our days. But let's wake up and redeem the time. And redeem the time, because the days are evil. That's the least we can do. Let's redeem the time. The little we can do, let's do it. Whatever abilities the Lord has given us, let's start working on it. Whatever blessings the Lord has given us, let's use it for His glory as well. We should do something for the Lord. Ultimately, we should strive to hear, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, that should be our ultimate goal at the end of the day. Thou good and faithful servant. We should ask ourselves sometimes, the things we are doing and the way we are living and all that, can we hear, thou good and faithful servant, one day? that's all. I mean, our lives doesn't warrant being told that good and faithful servants. Let's ask ourselves sincerely. Let's assess ourselves. Let's, you know, self-examination. You know yourself best. Assess yourself. Judge yourself. I mean, put yourself on the spot. Question yourself. And if you are failing, you know you are failing. If you are doing well, you know you are doing well. Then if you are doing well, well, how best, how much more can you do to improve? You see, we have to sometimes reflect on these things. Where we are failing, we work on it. Where we are doing well, we keep improving. And at the end of the day, it's God himself who will reward us. But it shouldn't be that we just neglect these spiritual principles and things and just assume that things will just automatically fall in place. No. There's nothing like automatic when it comes to spiritual things. No. If you don't wake up and do something, things just won't automatically happen. We have to work at it. We have to work at it. So let's wake up from our slumber and revive ourselves. We have to revive ourselves from our slumber and get busy for the Lord. All right, this is Eben, program Issues of Life. Let me end here. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. The file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and Telegram group. All right, so let me finish the program with Hunger for Holiness by Carmen.
Of my prayers played towards heaven.